When I was a car mechanic a few years ago, on the 25th of November every year, we would allow one Christmas song a day to be played in the workshop. And then in the first week of December, we would allow non-stop Christmas music to be played. And then we'd wait. We would wait and see to see who'd be the weakest, who would be the first one to give in, who was going to ask for something else to be played. And whoever couldn't endure the pain, well, they were the one who had to make the next round of tea or buy the next round of drinks, maybe a pina colada or something. Christmas, obviously, is one day of the year, but also painfully, it's a season of the year, isn't it? It's a time of year. And over the last few years, as a dad and as a church worker, I'm learning the lesson that you've got to be ready for Christmas. Gemma will not let me get away with doing my Christmas shopping on Christmas Eve anymore. You've got to be ready. And that ultimately is the question for this evening. Hopefully you'll see it on your sermon notes. They're on the back of Church Family News this evening, if that'll help you follow along. As we head into this season of Advent, this time of waiting, are you ready? Am I ready, not just for Christmas, but am I ready for the return of the King? And over the next few weeks, as we spend a few evenings in Matthew chapters 24 and 25, that is the overall question being asked of the disciples. Am I? Are you ready? Are you ready for when the King returns? And we find ourselves in Matthew in this final teaching block where Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's teaching them privately. He's tutoring them, if you like. And his primary aim is to help his friends, to give them understanding and warn them of what is to come, helping them to be ready. So just for a moment, look across the whole of chapter 24 with me and listen to the urgency in Jesus' voice. Verse 4, see to it that no one leads you astray. Verse 6, see to it that you're not alarmed. Verse 16, flee. Verse 17 and 18, don't turn back. Verse 20, pray. Verse 23, do not believe it. Verse 26, do not go out and do not believe it. Verse 32, learn the lesson. Verse 42, stay awake. Verse 44, be ready. There is great urgency in Jesus' teaching to his disciples then, and his words have not passed away for the Christian today. Disciple of Jesus, are you ready? And to help them be ready, what Jesus kindly does is warn his followers. So warning number one, if you could have the screen up please, Dave. Warning number one, verses 1 to 3, watch out. What for? Well, watch out, verses 1 to 3, for religion. Jesus leaves the temple area of Jerusalem. He's leaving with his disciples. And as they go away, they walk past and they're pointing at the temple. Oh, look, teacher, what wonderful buildings these are. They are tourists in the Big Apple. They're in awe of these ancient and meaningful buildings. Now, the first temple was one of the ancient seven wonders of the world. Well, the second temple, the temple that's here, and there's a picture up on the screen of it, well, it was one of the biggest religious buildings of its day. Herod had built it, and it was probably the most awesome building there was in the world at that time. The Grand Temple, it represented the beauty of Israel's history and culture. And most importantly, it showed the glory of God's presence with his people. So imagine the disciples' surprise as Jesus starts speaking in verse 2. Imagine the shock for the first century Jew reading Matthew's gospel as some of the events that are written down here happen. Because Jesus is not in awe of this building. Jesus doesn't look around and he doesn't say, you know what, friends, you're right. Look at these pillars with their tellies on them. Look at those roofs of wood and gold. How beautiful. What history. What place of religion. Well, have a look at verse 2. Jesus speaks out against the temple. Truly, I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. It is one thing to say of himself, something greater than the temple is here, in Matthew 12. But here, Jesus says that God has put up the demolition sign and he'll be rolling out the wrecking ball. And since chapter 21 of Matthew, Jesus, where he clears the temple courts, and then in chapter 23, where he condemns those who run the Jewish temple, he has a go at them for their religious acts and their hypocrisy. Well, Jesus is taking his aim at religion. The religious leaders who live out their religion on show for all to see and make everyone else feel bad. The disciples who are staring at these great buildings. Well, Jesus warns them that religion and buildings cannot repair a broken relationship with God. The true center of a relationship with God is through a personal relationship with Jesus himself. And that is why at this time of year we hear those good news words from Matthew's gospel. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Religion, our good deeds, cannot bring us close to God. And yet, wonderfully, the great news of the Bible is that God has come to us. And here in Matthew 24, the cross for Jesus is just 2 days away. See, Jesus is getting rid of religion. It was never going to work. But his death, the plan of God, was always going to work. The temple and its sacrificial system is going to be replaced by Jesus' once-for-all sacrifice. His death won't just be for a Jewish nation. His death is good news for all nations and all people groups. And so the only way to enjoy a relationship with God for them then and for us now is through Jesus. So like the disciples, don't be fooled by religious buildings. Watch out for other people's religious acts. Be amazed by Jesus. And as the disciples and Jesus sit on the Mount of Olives, verse 3, they're on a hill on the east of Jerusalem and it overlooks the city and the temple. Well, the disciples ask Jesus the big question, really. It's going to govern what Jesus teaches his disciples in these two chapters. Here's the two questions. Verse 3, tell us, when will these things be? So when will Jerusalem be destroyed? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? How will we know that you're coming as ruling king? And as Jesus answers his disciples' questions, he warns them about the destruction of the temple and of the end of the world itself. But I wonder if you notice as well, as Jesus starts to answer, which we'll get to in a moment, he doesn't answer with what they want. He lovingly answers them with what they need to hear. It's vintage Jesus, really. Jesus is helpfully explaining that the coming destruction of the temple will not be the end of the world. I mean, be a first century Jew for a moment. Be the disciples. You might be tempted to think that the destruction of the temple is probably the end of the world. But Jesus is teaching that the destruction of the temple and these last days, the last days being the time between Christ's death and resurrection until his return, are the last days. And so the analogy of mountain climbing is often used to explain this. I'm going to use it. I don't do mountain climbing myself, as you can probably tell. But if we were climbing up a mountain, we'd fix our eyes at the horizon, the top, only to get there to find out that there's a whole nother peak to climb after that. And so the temple's destruction is the first part of this judgment peak, the first horizon. And we can look back on history and see that Jesus' prophecy against the temple and its destruction in verse 2, well, it came true. In AD 70, the Romans came in and wiped out Jerusalem and her temple. Peak number one was done, but Christians are still waiting for the final peak. The peak that Jesus also speaks of, the day when he will return as ruling king. And so, as you read through Matthew 24 and 25, you have to work hard to find out which peak is Jesus talking about. And therefore, as we wait today, what is it that we also need to watch out for? So warning number one was watch out for religion. But there are more warnings to come. Verse 4 and 5, watch out for deception. Watch out for deception. Watch out. There'll be those who try to lead you astray. Verse 5, many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. Some will come as fake kings. And recently, I finally read through the Narnia series. And in the final book, The Last Battle, Shift the Ape creates a fake Aslan out of a lion skin and his friend Puzzle the donkey. And this is how the conversation goes as he puts the skin on his friend. Oh, you look wonderful, wonderful, said the ape. If anyone saw you now, they'd think that you are Aslan, the great lion himself. Oh, that would be dreadful, said Puzzle. Oh, no, it wouldn't, said Shift. Everyone would do whatever you told them to do. But, oh, I don't want to tell them anything. Oh, but think of the good we could do. I'd think of the sensible orders for you to give, and everyone would have to obey us. Think of all the bananas they'd bring us. A donkey in a lion's outfit is no replacement for the great lion himself. Jesus is clear. There'll be those who come in his name claiming to be Jesus. Well, watch out, disciples of Jesus. Don't be deceived. Be careful who you're listening to. And wait for the real Jesus. You will know when he comes. Have a look across at verse 29. The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Verse 30, they will see the Son of Man, Jesus, coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Chill out, Christians. You'll know when he gets here. But as you wait for his return, watch out for religion, watch out for deception, and verses 6 to 8, watch out for international pain. Verse 6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Don't be alarmed. Nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, earthquakes, all these things, verse 8, are but the beginning of the birth pains. As you wait for the king to return, the disciples are to look around the world at all these world events and remember that it's just a contraction. It's not the event yet. These international pains are the mark of a fallen world that has rebelled against the one true king and creator, a world that is under his judgment, a world that will end. Now, Gemma spent well over 48 hours, I'm told, of having contractions when Jake was born. That's 48 hours of pain and endurance whilst I mainly slept. War in Syria, birth pain. Famine in the South Sudan, That's a contraction. Terrorist activity is a labor pain. Threat of international conflict, contraction. Extinction Rebellion, it's a labor pain. Don't be alarmed, it's not the end yet. And so you and I need to recognize, as we watch and read the news, that all is not right with this world. The end is coming. It's labor now, delivery in the future. So be patient. Endure it. Breathe in. Breathe out. It will happen. The hard and long labor of waiting for our children to be born was worth it, so I'm told. Well, for the Christian, the hard and long labor of waiting for Jesus' return will be worth it. But there's another warning, verses 9 to 12. Watch out for more pain. As Jesus teaches his disciples and warns them of hard times, well, verse 9, there's more pain. They will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Verse 10, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Verse 11, many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. Verse 12, lawlessness, sin will be increased. The love of many will grow cold. See, Jesus is warning them so that his disciples in pain will endure. All of whom, the disciples, were hated and put to death for his name's sake. And so for the Christian today, that's still the same. There will be hostility. There will be persecution. It will affect us. Don't be unsettled. Even if the church starts to decline, stand firm. But again, watch out. Verse 11, many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. False teachers are persuasive. So be careful in who you're listening to. Be careful in which books you're going to read. Ignore the Roy Clements, the Steve Chalks, the Joel Osteens, the Joyce Meyers, the Josh Harrises of this world, who sadly now teach things that are in contradiction to what the Bible says. Watch out for what churches believe. It doesn't take very much to send a good gospel church off in the wrong direction. I was saddened recently to hear of one local church who have recently removed the propitiation language, the substitute language, off of their statement of faith. Watch out. Religion, wars, trials, fake Christ, labor pains, don't be led astray. Loads of warnings, and yet there are two verses of comfort. Verses 13 and 14. Be ready through endurance. Verse 13, a reassuring but. The one who endures to the end will be saved. The one who endures, who stands firm, will be saved. And my dad and I love to play a game of cribbage. It doesn't matter how many points ahead somebody is. Dad is often heard saying, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Because he often loses. Or a slightly more geeky reference for the Star Wars fanatics in the room. In the film A New Hope, there's an X-Wing fighter scene. And as the enemies chase them at their target, one of the pilots encourages Red Leader with these words, stay on target. Well, that is kind of what Jesus is saying. True faith in Jesus stays on target. Endure the trials and hardships of the world. Because Christian, one day you will enjoy Emmanuel, God with us, physically, in his eternal kingdom, when he returns. the one who endures to the end will be saved. So be ready for his return through endurance. And also verse 14, have a look down. This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Just notice what Jesus says. It is not this gospel should be proclaimed. It is not this gospel could have kind of be preached. It is this gospel will be preached. There is great certainty from the King, who promises universal proclamation, and he can do so because he alone is sovereign. All nations will hear. All people groups will hear the good news of Jesus. I mean, how amazing is that? In the middle of uncertain times, in the middle of pain, Christians worrying, unsure of the future, well, we have the absolute assurance and certainty of the good news kingdom. And it's going to be proclaimed throughout all the nations. And so in unsettled times, be ready. Stand firm in his gospel. Don't be led astray. Don't give up. Endure pain and trials. Be ready for his kingdom. And do it through your endurance and faith, as the gospel of the kingdom is proclaimed to all nations. Let's pray. We thank you, Father God, for your Son, for our King, our Saviour. We thank you for warning us with truths from your eternal word. Please would you help us to be ready for his return. We ask that you give us endurance, faith, and confidence in Jesus and his kingdom. We pray for our good and for his glory. Amen.